The passing of Chef Charlie Trotter last week has left the culinary world in shock. The New York Times says that there are two eras in dining, BC and AC, or before Charlie and after Charlie. My dad, Peter, is a classically trained chef and also a friend and business associate of Charlie Trotter. I'm going to do a quick podcast about his experiences and friendship with Charlie Trotter. Dad?
Well, I met Charlie in around 1998 or 1999 as the brand manager for Turbo Chef, the company I'm currently working for. We have a high-speed oven that uses microwave, but actually has very high-quality cooking results. And Charlie Trotter was, you know, at the pinnacle of American culinary cuisine, and we wanted to find a way to work with him so that he could be our spokesperson and business associate. And this was very difficult because, you know, Charlie was hard to reach and, you know, really didn't have much time for us. But then we found out that he needed funding for his PBS special. And we were involved with Jen Eyre and also Gallo of Sonoma. And we decided it would be a very great media buy. And we got involved with sponsoring his first two seasons of his PBS special called The Cooking Sessions with Charlie Trotter. So we went to meet with him, and you know, the only thing he would give us was he wanted to see the oven, because regardless of what we could do for him, he had to see the oven, and he had to endorse it and make sure it worked. And it was the start of a very great relationship. We ended up working together very closely. He did become our spokesperson and also was an early adopter to our technology. In fact, he even had our oven in the much coveted chef table inside the Charlie Trotter kitchen, which was a very difficult table to get, especially on the weekends. So you would have to wait months to get that table. It was a very high-powered place to be. And he always had our oven there on display.
So Charlie Trotter was a self-taught chef. How rare is it for someone to rise to that level?
I've only heard of one other chef of note that's ever done it. That would be Freddy Girardet, who was a French Swiss chef in Switzerland, and at one time he held the three coveted Michelin stars. It's the only time I've ever heard of it. The pedigree of a chef, especially in France or at the level Charlie attained, was your whole life, you know, only working for the top chefs and working your way up the ladder and finally one day making it on your own. It's completely unheard of for somebody to just be self-taught and kind of learn it on their own and have that kind of intensity and experience and expertise.
And as an American chef, how did Charlie Trotter change food world?
Well, I think that gets back to the BC and AC comment. I think before Charlie Trotter, you know, and as a young chef myself coming up in the system, the American chefs and the American restaurants were never really taken seriously by France. It's always been France and the Michelin three-star restaurants and the top guys. And American chefs never really got there. I mean, there was some in Northern California that got there. But when Charlie Trotter came onto the scene, he was the first American chef that kind of broke that barrier, became to the level of the great three-star Michelin restaurants, and in fact was the only American chef that was really embraced by those guys. And you're talking about names like, Alain Ducasse, Daniel Boulud, all of those people who actually showed up at his funeral also, which I believe was yesterday, or his memorial service. So he worked with Ferran Adria. They were great friends, and you know, that guy has one of the most famous restaurants, which was El Bulli in Spain, and now it's called, he's got a new one called Tickets. But these are the top guys in Europe. They never took American chefs seriously until Charlie. And then when Charlie came along, he showed everybody else in America that they could do it, and the whole scene changed. And Charlie never really got a lot of credit for that, because after that, the era of really celebrity chefs came in, and it wasn't always so much based on your ability to cook and run a restaurant. It was more, you know, your ability to look good in front of a camera.
So what was the experience at Charlie Trotter's restaurant in Chicago, dining there?
Well, I got some perks being, you know, sponsoring the PBS special, and we did become good friends, and it was great for me because when I went in, I could bring my clients and friends, and it was always great because Charlie would come out and say hello to us, which, you know, everybody is always impressed by. And, you know, there was two menus. One side was a bunch of stuff that was non-vegetarian, and then the other side was vegetarian. And, you know, Charlie would say menus or no menus, and that was kind of the code, and I'd say no menus. And I loved it because the dinner always started out with Charlie asking me and, you know, the clients or friends that I was with. His question was, is anybody allergic to anything? You always knew you were off to a good start when he said that, and everybody said, no, we're not allergic to anything.
So everything was on the table.
Yeah, and then basically it would be somewhere between 15 and 18 courses, each paired with wine that Charlie would pick out, because he was very meticulous about pairing the wine and the food, and just an incredible perfectionist, and those were some very memorable dinners.
What was the best dish you had there?
The best dish I ever had, and I have a lot of very experienced, couple of well-known chefs that were actually with me on that dinner. And there was a lot of things, but the one thing we remember, I don't know if it was just because it was brilliant or because of the simplicity of it, but it was a quail egg that was poached. It was kind of a soft-boiled poached egg that was perfectly round like a marble, and when you cut into it, just the yolk was just right. It was just the right amount of runny, the right temperature, not too runny, not too hard boiled, but it was also rolled around in truffle shavings, and that was it, an egg in truffle shavings, and that's the thing that none of us can ever forget. It's one of the most memorable things I've ever eaten, and it was so small, and in the end, we had to go back and ask Charlie how he did it. And basically, he had a surgical instrument inside the water, which would poach it, and it was like a little motorboat motor. It would make the water swirl, and that's how the quail egg was perfectly round. It was amazing.
And you mentioned that Charlie Trotter was very meticulous about his wine and food pairings. Did he have a nice wine collection?
He had an insane wine collection. I think it, you know, at one time, and I think for a long time, it was valued as one of the highest, one of the top and most valuable wine collections in the world of any restaurant. It was incredible. We'd do, after dinner, invariably, we'd do the kitchen tour, and then we would do the wine tour, and there was just racks and racks of incredible French Bordeaux, all the great names. One that always got my attention and everybody else's was a case of, well, what was left of a case of very high-end French champagne that was actually recovered from a German U-boat that had been sunken at the bottom of the Atlantic for 50 or so years, and somebody found it, and the champagne was in a perfect environment to preserve it. There was no light, and it was the perfect temperature, and somehow Charlie got a hold of that wine, and it was $10,000 a bottle. And I'd go all the time, and I'd always, every time I went down there, I'd check how many were left, you know, and a year later, one would be missing, and I'd ask him who ordered that, and it was the guy, the singer from Fish came in, or somebody like that, but it was really an incredible experience to see, you know, the wines that he had. And, you know, I will say there were other times when I came in, and we were, you know, we'd always ask Charlie to pick the wine out, or his sommelier. And at the end of one dinner, he came out and he said, can anybody guess what kind of wine you had and where it came from? And all of the wine was from Mexico. And we were blown away by the wine, and we didn't know you could get great wine from Mexico. And he also said none of it was very expensive, and it was a region that was trying to make it and kind of get on the map, because people don't associate wine with Mexico. So on one hand, you've got a $10,000 bottle of wine, and on the other hand, you've got a region producing great wine that nobody knows can produce great wine.
So in the beginning of this interview, you said that Charlie Trotter isn't credited as often as he should be for really changing the culinary landscape in Chicago and in the United States. So what do you think should be his enduring legacy that people should remember about him?
I think there's a difference between a celebrity chef and a chef that can cook and can run a restaurant. Charlie was serious about running a restaurant and about training people and about giving back to the community. He really wasn't out there to be a superstar. He was there to create chefs and create experience for his customers.
Thanks for listening.